Welcome in to episode 3 of In the Bag with Unc and Adam. I'm out in Las Vegas hanging out with David Copperfield over here. And Uncle Neely is back in Colorado where it sounds like it's just dumping snow right now. Are you staying warm, it looks like, there, Neely?
I'm staying warm. I'm actually sweating. I got the heat up so high. But when I tell you, Adam, the snow is coming down. The weatherman did not lie. You know, a lot of times, man, the weather guys can kind of exaggerate and, you know, the storm comes and it was a big letdown and they act sad. But these weather people here, they're excited because they nailed it. It's a lot of snow out there, but it's not cold. You know, you can go sit on the porch, pleasant, but it's a lot of snow.
So that move to CU's Pro Timing Day, which was supposed to be today as we're recording this on Thursday, it sounds like it's going to be next Tuesday now instead. Kind of unfortunate timing as far as that goes, but there's a pretty good roster that's going to be competing in that Pro Timing Day. We talked about Jordan Dominick. And is there anybody else in that field that you're really anxious to see how they perform?
Yeah, you know, interesting to see if Zay Weaver is going to perform. You know, he's recovering from that surgery, went to the NFL Combine, but did not participate in any of the drills. I hadn't talked to Zay since before the Combine, so don't know if he's going to be on hand to perform or not. But, you know, anytime you have Coach Prime's name on something, of course, all the scouts are going to show up. So it's going to be a great attendance for those who do perform and go through, you know, interviews and just being around the scouts that day. So weather caused it to be moved, but better safe than sorry. And it was a good call, man, because there's no way to get to the school.
Yeah, definitely. You had a video recently where you showed behind the scenes footage of some of the voiceover work that you do. And I'm curious, what are some of the favorite things that you've promoted during some of that voiceover work over the years?
I guess the biggest one would be the Mississippi Lottery. I was the original voice, and now they've switched it up some, but I was the original voice for Have Fun, Y'all, which is the tagline for participating in the Mississippi Lottery. So there have been times, Adam, I've been on my couch at home and the TV is on kind of in the background, and I hear a commercial. I go, damn, that voice sounds familiar. They go, oh, yeah, I recorded that.
That's awesome. Matt, you've made it back to Jackson a couple times since last season, correct?
Yeah, I have. You know, one of the things I wanted to do this offseason was, you know, to be able to spend some time at home. You know, last year this time, not only were we new and establishing a program and having to run strength and conditioning and hire coaches, you know, hell, we were still trying to find our way around and get places to live. So with a year under our belts and knowing our way around and some of the infrastructure things in place, it allows you more time during this offseason when the guys are just focused on strength and conditioning, you know, to go back at home. You know, Coach Prime is, you know, blessed and fortunate. His kids are here. His mom is here. You know, his dog Gunner is here, but I got to go home to play with the dog. I got to go home to see the kids. So I take that opportunity as much as I can, man, and they come out here as well. But, you know, we're going to start spring ball this coming week and go home for spring break. And all the month of April, we'll be here every day, you know, building up into the summer till we go to fall camp in August.
You recently produced a 2-part series with Robert Livingston, the new defensive coordinator in Boulder. Some great comments that he had throughout that 2-part series with you, Neely. And along those lines, that's going to segue us into the mailbag segment here. GK Buffs asked, how has our new defensive coordinator been settling in with his role? It's a lot to do before spring ball.
Well stated question. There's a lot to do before spring ball, but you do have the advantage as you're trying to get adjusted again, moving your family here, finding your way around. You do have the advantage of that the focus, you know, is strength and conditioning during this phase. This is not football time yet, as it were, if we look back when, you know, he first arrived. But I think he has gotten settled, you know, to see so many coaches come here the past 16 months and watch them get orientated to their surroundings and get settled in. He's really hit the ground running. And when you think about, you know, that he was in one place for 12 years, and that's pretty uncommon in the coaching industry. You know, there's a lot of matriculation and moving around, but for him to be at the Bengals 12 years and in various positions and now taking on his new assignment, man, he is, I told him he's like that little dog that chases cars and finally caught it. Now what are you going to do with it? So it's football time, you know, starting next week, and he's going to get to sit down with the players, do his installs, and go through practices, and then there also be some player-led practices. So to directly answer the question, man, I'm very impressed with his acumen and his ability to get settled in and get things going and get ready to work. Looks like he's been here already.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The takeaways that I've had with Robert Livingston in some of the comments that he's made to both you and Mark Johnson since he took the job is that, A, the focus is on tailoring the defense to what they do best, but also that there seems to be a simplistic nature. And that was something that Cameron Sumlin Craig said when he was on with the DNVR podcast. You know, none of these guys are getting into to real specifics in terms of the schemes for obvious reasons, but does it seem like kind of the focus is on, again, not only what these guys do best individually, but a kind of a simplistic nature to allow these guys to play a little bit faster out there?
I think that's the case. I think Coach Livingston believes that you do things fast, that you can, that you do well, and you do things well that you have a complete understanding of. You know, even when you're driving, Adam, and you're lost, you're going to drive slow. No one is speeding in the wrong direction. So he understands to get these guys in the defense that they can learn and that they can excel at based on their individual and then collective talents is a good damn defense. You know, a lot of coaching philosophies, you have your blueprint, you have what you like to do, and you know, whether the talent can meet that or the football IQ can meet that, you just kind of force it to the players and we'll get there. Well, in this new age of college football, you're probably not coaching the same guy 4 years, 3 years. You know, so to have a system where it takes 2 or 3 or 4 years to master kind of puts you behind the eight ball, if you will. But Coach Livingston is just saying, hey man, I am evaluating the talent. I'm seeing what these guys are capable of individually. How do we get the best 11 guys on the field every defensive snap? And let's come up with schemes, you know, that accentuates, you know, their individual talents and their collective talents instead of forcing them to do some things they may not be able to do so well.
Aaron Lott 303 asked, has Neely seen the 30 for 30, the gospel according to Mac? If so, what were his takeaways and what knowledge did he gain of CU football?
I will have to put that on the watch list. I have not seen that. One of the first things I did immerse myself in, the book by Brian Howell, he gave me a year ago, you know, the 100 things you need to know about, you know, CU football. So I have been, you know, chest deep in reading that the past year, and it's still a good pickup, you know, picking up and reading and refreshing some things. But I have not seen that 30 for 30, but I will make sure I watch that.
I watched the 30 for 30 Deion's double play back when he emerged as kind of the clear top candidate for Colorado's head coaching vacancy. Neely, I got to say that Tim McCarver had it coming.
I totally agree that he had it coming, and Coach Prime still did it, you know, without cussing or drinking or any of those other vices. You know, he got his payback on him, and he got his payback because his mama told him it was okay to do it, much like with the Colorado State thing.
All right, moving along. Hog 11 wanted to know our pre-spring thoughts on QB2. He also asked about the plan for inside linebacker and projected starters at safety. We talked a little bit on our last show, Neely, about QB2 and kind of how that's an intriguing battle. What are your thoughts leading into spring ball with that group?
I still just have to lean that coming off a year of experience, coming off what he was able to showcase in that Utah game, that the key QB2 spot is Staubs to lose. I also believe that the caliber guys that were already in that room that are coming back, with some of the new guys that are coming in, they're not conceding that. So I think there will be a competitive battle as the installations go on under this offense moving forward under Coach Shermer, with him having complete control instead of being a co-coordinator. I think that you're going to have a battle for QB2, and I think that it's an important battle. You know, God forbid some injury to QB1, but it is so important in preparation, so important in scout team, so important because that's who the D1, the defensive one unit, the first defensive unit, if you will, goes up against the second team at practice. So you got to have a strong guy there who knows the playbook and is able to get things done. I think, man, going into this right now, you know, a couple of days before we start spring ball with pads and that kind of thing, I think it's still Ryan Staub in that spot.
Does Walter Taylor strike you as a guy because of his size that could maybe be, a wildcat option in short yard situations? How do you kind of see his size maybe being a strength for this football team.
You nailed it. I mean, you answered it in the question. I think with the physical prowess that when you just look across and see him, that he's going to be utilized in unique situations where, you know, there's obvious contact coming to the quarterback and you want to, you know, take Shedeur Sanders out for a play or two. One thing I've been marveling at is watching Pat Shurmur do his thing, you know, doing his strength and conditioning, sitting in with just him and his staff, you know, no coaching yet with the players. But there's some creativity in his offense. There's some things, you know, to this offense that are not just, you know, ham and egg and cup of coffee, you know, just generic kind of breakfast. There's some creative meals that he's cooking up on the offensive side. And, you know, now he's got some size and depth, not only just an offensive line protection wise, but like you're saying, in that QB room, be ashamed not to utilize it. I think you're going to see some times where it gets utilized.
I've also asked about inside linebacker. I'd imagine day one, Vonta Bentley and Trevor Woods are probably the first guys out there. But we have heard Coach Prime say that that is going to be a focus in terms of the spring transfer portal window. What are your expectations with that group this spring?
My second expectation first, I think what Coach Prime said is spot on, not just because he's head coach. I just think he totally agreed with them that, you know, you have this May portal that's going to come about. And I don't think that linebacker room is finished or complete yet. I think you're going to see some transfers in that are going to offer some completion to that room and some competitiveness to that room. But as you said, man, with Trevor Woods moving down from safety, his football IQ is off the charts. With what Bentley is doing, you know, the shape he returned in, his experience and his IQ, I think those are your two guys starting off right there. But much like we said about that QB2 spot, I think it's the same thing through the linebackers. There's going to be some competition through spring ball, through the summer, and we're going to see who's going to truly going to emerge. But it's too early to just validate a guy right now because that room hasn't seen all that it's going to get before we're done with spring.
And it's safety, the last part of his question here. We saw Shiloh Sanders and Cameron Silliman Craig make a lot of plays this past season. It is going to be interesting to see how that nickelback slash star role goes, though, because you've got a lot of capable guys that could fit in there.
Yeah, I think what Coach Livingston realizes, you know, as he sits and talks to Coach Mathis or Coach Hart in the linebacker room, excuse me, I think he realizes, man, we got some depth here. We got some talent. We got some football IQ here. And when you can move with Trevor Woods and his football IQ down to linebacker, and you still have a Cameron Silliman Craig and a Shiloh Sanders, and Shiloh being, you know, that IQ guy and hard-hitting guy back there, as well as Cameron, what a great problem to have. You know, it's who you're going to put where versus, damn, we don't have anything at all, and we're just, you know, trying to piecemeal some things. I think our talent level in the secondary is going to allow for some creativity there as well. And I think Livingston, with his NFL experience with the Bengals, knows how to move guys around in different plays, different calls to get the best 11 people on the field.
And that's one other thing to add on with Livingston. I mean, there probably is very few people on the planet that are more elite at getting the best out of safeties than him, right? Based on what he did when he was with the Bengals. Let's go along to our next question. Davis Buff asked, did CU get enough talent and size on the defensive line to stop the run? We ranked 107th in the nation in run defense in 2023. Where do you see us ranked in 2024? Can you tell yet that DC Livingston will do differently than DC Kelly regarding stopping the run? Quite a bit to munch on there, Neely. First off, his question about talent and size on the defensive line, and that was definitely one of the groups that a lot of the focus is on the offensive line and revamping the roster there. Somewhat under the radar is kind of the talent that they added to that defensive line room.
Yeah, and I think that's where it got lost in the shuffle. I think that, you know, everyone heard ad nauseum, whether it was the head coach and Coach Prime, to the director of player personnel, Corey Phillips, to you just watching games on TV or your own eyeball test. Everybody knew the offensive line had to get better, and that was the number one focus, was protecting the best quarterback in the nation, the Heisman hopeful in Shedeur Sanders, and giving him more time. But if that was 1A, 1B was getting a defensive line that could stop the run. And Coach Prime never shied away from that. That was the second priority, and it was just as high as the first priority. And I think that priority was accomplished. I don't know where we're going to rank, you know, when the dust settles, but I do believe that when you compare the defensive front that Coach Kelly had. It's not like he didn't want to stop the run compared to the guys that have come in to augment that, particularly a guy like Shane Coates coming back. There's no doubt in my mind that this defensive line is going to be able to do two things. One, stop the run, and they're going to, two, be able to make the quarterback uncomfortable.
Has Chidozie Nwankwo kind of developed into a strong leadership room? Does Shane Coates have like more help in that regard in that room this year?
I would say so. You know, I think last year with Shane's experience and his vocalness, that he was just no doubt about it, the leader in that room, even in situations that he may not have, should have been the leader. It was just default him at all times. I think now there's some quote unquote competition for leadership because you have guys playing different positions on the line that have the same IQ as he does, the same work ethic as he does. And so he is by no means alone this season, which to me is only going to spell more success and not just better success than last year, because last year was not the standard. We're not even trying to compare ourselves to those numbers of that group. I think this is going to be what you expect from D1 football, power four football, for a team that's trying to get into the playoffs and make a run for a national championship. I think we have that caliber of talent and depth on the D-line this year.
And you throw in guys like Quincy Wiggins that, you know, are early off the bus type guys, and Sammy Okunlola off the edge. It does feel like they've added more size across the board there. And then I think folks might forget that Amari McNeil really seemed to come on last season, and Chaz Wallace has kind of reshaped his body a little bit this offseason. So there's quite a bit of competition there on the defensive line. Nepper asked, any inside info on Warren Sapp's plans? Neely, I saw him tweet back at a fan the other day that he's going to be in Boulder pretty soon. Any updates there?
I'm smiling because Sapp and I have become text buddies and friends in real life. And all I can say is hashtag Sapp not fishing. Sapp will be here when he gets here, but he is winding those last hours down before college football truly starts for his role and what he brings to the table. So he hasn't told me otherwise. I hadn't heard Coach Prime say otherwise. And so he said he would be here. Last I spoke with him, said he would be in March. You know, March ain't over yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing Warren Sapp here when he gets here.
How much time did he spend in Boulder this past fall? Was it about the vast majority of preseason camp?
You know, it's hard to count it that way because he made multiple visits and stayed for multiple days each time. So it may not have been like the consecutive for weeks on at a time, but he would come in for 3 or 4 days at a clip. And his impact, man, just hanging out with the guys because, you know, again, he wasn't doing, you know, any direct coaching during practice, just observing and, you know, his interacting with the players in the cafeteria or in the cold or the hot tub, man, you just can't beat it. And you think about this, Adam, like, what program has a head coach with a gold jacket? And then what program has a head coach and then another coach in the building, even if he's just hanging out with a gold jacket? So what's going to take place here environmentally? And that's on top of the visits from, say, Michael Irvin and Terrell Owens. You know, to have those two guys, Coach Prime and Warren Sapp, in the building at the same time, I don't care if it's just for one day. That's 100 days when you get that to happen one time because of the impact and reach that they have.
PA Buff asked, any surprise alternatives for televising the spring game? Is anything in the works? Weren't the ratings good last year? Yeah, the ratings were good last year on ESPN. Neely, this is not PA Buff's question, but like, I felt like some of the outside lowered expectations for Colorado football was based on them watching the spring game and not realizing that that's not going to be the team that takes the field against TCU. It was still a great event, and the weather provided some good photos. My wife was down there photographing the spring game last year, and Peggy did her thing out there. But this year, this is the spring game that should be on ESPN.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it had to be on last year because it was Coach Prime's first year, first spring game. You had to do it. And I think this year the stakes are even higher as far as people want to cover it. We've seen where ESPN did not have it in their rotation, but I mean, let's be real, Adam. There are more networks covering college football than just ESPN. So FS1 is still out there. I sit here today, man, as we go into the last weekend before truly starting spring ball and believe that that game is going to be televised by somebody. And if it isn't, there's going to be a lot of people scratching their heads and regretting that they didn't televise it because it's not just a spring game. You know, at other places, it's really just the 15th practice and it's just televised or it's just promoted as an event, you know, to sell tickets and get everything hype going into the season in the summer. But this year, this spring game, you know, starting Thursday with events and Friday with events and Saturday with events and then the game. And then there's Sunday closeout events. Coach Prime is, you know, clearly his friends are coming to town, his celebrity friends. So you're going to see a lot of people here. Someone is going to pick up that game.
Jay, Judo 9317 asks, what excites you two most about moving to the Big 12? I'll let you lead off here, Neely.
I think for me, being able to play games back east, back south in Texas, and what that means for our recruiting footprint, you know, we're now, and even up to Ohio eventually, we're now having games, you know, that are not just, you know, Mountain Time or Pacific Time. You're going to have an East Coast kickoff. You're going to have a Central Time Zone kickoff. And they're going to be in states like Florida and Texas. And what that means to exposure and what we're truly trying to build here in the recruitment process, I love it. I love it. I love it. And then it also means, Adam, that if we have a triple overtime game, it's probably not going to be midnight when we're done. You know, sun might still be out.
Yeah, no, I think going back to the TCU game and just the environment around the stadium, not to say that everything that came out of the mouths of those TCU fans was kind or gentle during that football game and leading up to it, but there's more passion in the Big 12 footprint than I don't know if you got that sense last year, Neely, traveling out to Big 12 to Pac-12 places. My earbud just fell out here. All right, I'm back online now. Did you get that sense from following along with Colorado, that kind of the difference between what we saw in Fort Worth versus what we saw in some of those other Pac-12 places?
Oh, yeah, there was certainly a atmospheric, environmental, as far as game day, visiting stadium drop off to some of the, you know, more, you know, steeped in the pack 12 environments. But then you go to, you know, Oregon and it's just like TCU. It's a hostile, you know, place to play. And I think that's what's going to happen with, you know, with the Big 12, you know, and starting with even when Baylor comes here and that game is going to be televised for sure. You know, it's going to be more like what you see on those college game day kind of environments and highlight reels, you know, from SEC ball when you're going into the Big 12 and you're playing in Texas and you're playing in Florida, and those teams are also coming to your home stadium to play you. So I do think from an energy standpoint, it's going to be up several notches.
OMG, you're dumb asked a recruiting question, which I don't think Neely, you can really touch on that stuff. You're kind of you keep recruiting stuff at an arm's distance. Is that correct? Yeah. So when you're shooting and there's a recruit on campus, do you have to, I would imagine you have to be kind of cognizant of that, right? And try to shoot around them.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best way to shoot around is to not shoot at all. You know, there's some audio stuff we can use or coach vantage point we can use, you know, so we can show, you know, a coach and what he's saying to recruits, but you can't show the recruits. And, you know, the funny thing about it, Adam, the very thing that you're showing or not showing, the recruits themselves can show, you know, they can put it out,
Yeah.
but you just can't. So it's just always strange to see, you know, the recruit going through the building on his Instagram live, and then those media outlets affiliated with Coach Prime can't show the very thing he's already, you know, showing himself. So it's a thin line, and we work with compliance and make sure, you know, things are proper. And if we catch a mistake, we are quick to take it down. But the best way to do it is don't shoot at all, or just make sure you're shooting who are CU staff and what their message is, and not the players who are visiting.
I can say that I believe I can say this on a video with you that Colorado's had some visitors out this spring already. So we're covering that on BuffStampede.com on 24/7 Sports.
Absolutely.
So
And more to
no,
come.
yeah, more to come. No Chef Carl Solomon today for you. What's on the menu as you battle this snowstorm back home?
You know, I just can't wait to see Chef and hug him. I miss him, man. There's nothing like what he's doing and what Coach Prime even, talks about how the importance of nutrition, not just doing strength and conditioning phase, but ongoing through fall camp and even during the season. And, we show what he's cooking, but there's even more that goes on beyond the scenes as far as guys who need to lose weight, guys who need to gain weight and what their calorie counts are. Same thing when they're preparing the smoothies for after practice. It's a science to it, man. It's not just, here's a crab cake. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, Laura Anderson kept rolling by with those smoothies during preseason camp last year by all the media, and we're going, how did we purchase one of those? I stopped off at Jamba Juice a couple times just because they look so refreshing during preseason camp. Well, Uncle Neely, we got spring ball starting next week at CU, and I'm sure the questions are going to continue to flood in. That's episode three. Enjoyed it, and hopefully everybody back there in Colorado stays warm and safe. Again, I really appreciate you for taking the time out to field questions from fans out there.
Hey, I'm loving it, man. Great partnership, Adam, what we're doing together. More to come, y'all. Not only just spring ball, but during the season. So keep firing those questions into both platforms, Adam's and mine, and we're going to get to your questions because we're not going to do three and stop. We're not going to do four and stop. We're not going to do 500 and stop. We're going to keep going in the bag with Adam and Unc.
I love it. Well, I'm in Vegas, so I'm going to get this prepared for our release and then go find a craps table before Colorado plays in the Pac-12 men's basketball tournament tonight. So far, I'm up. We'll see if that continues to be the case. I think I'm not leaving till Sunday, so this is maybe too long to be in Vegas. But I appreciate you again, Uncle Neely, and everybody out there for tuning in.